try to explain and understand.
Oh yeah, we live and direct. This is the Mystic Journey. I'm your co-journeyer, Christian. Today's topic is, who you talking to? Who you talking to? Who you think you talking to? Anybody got time for all that? And the premise is that you are not your thoughts. You are not your thoughts. So when I was in junior high, and for West Coasters, or for East Coasters, that's middle school, junior high. When I was in junior high, I got exposed to rap. Two records in particular. The Fresh Prince Bel-Air. I'm the rapper, he's the DJ. It was just the Fresh Prince. And the second one was Ice-T, his first record. Two very extremes on the rap spectrum. And I heard this music and it radicalized me. It changed me. And I said, I want to be a rapper. And I memorized all the lyrics to Fresh Prince, and I would rap those raps to people in my school like they were my own. And then I made this decision to become a rapper, had that thought. And then I thought, well, if I'm going to be a rapper, I got to live a little bit. Because all these rappers were rapping about these stories of their life. And so from that thought, I want to be a rapper, to the next thought, which is I got to live life, it's like I pursued deviant behaviors from that point on. And I started, you know, we used to steal emblems from cars, like Mercedes and Cadillac emblems, throw rocks at people's window. Then we started smoking and drinking, then tagging. You know, all because I had that thought. I want to be a rapper, so I gotta live. So thoughts create feelings, create behavior. So thoughts are powerful. A lot of things that exist today started as a thought. The very mechanism in which you're consuming this content started first as a thought in someone's mind or a group of people's minds. And then they took that thought and manifested it into reality on some alchemy kind of shit. So thoughts are important. Now through that chasing of this dream and thinking I had to live a life that was conducive to some rap stories, right? I picked up this addiction, and through that addiction I also picked up this thing, this negative self-talk, and that negative self-talk is still with me today. So this teaching of you are not your thoughts is important. I'll give an example of, like, you know, if I put this up here, right? If you're watching, what I'm putting up is my hand, right? It's my hand. My hand doesn't do things that I don't want it to do. It don't do things unless I tell it to do it, unless I got some sort of disease or something. This hand does what I tell it to do. But when it comes to the mind, we fall victim, we fall prey to the mind and its function in our existence. You think about, like, whenever you're upset, right? I'm so angry. I'm so sad. Right? Those are feelings. It's the same premise. You are not your feelings. But when we say things like, I'm so angry, or I am angry, we're associating ourselves with the feeling. They become intertwined. They become one. And that's the same thing that's happening with our thinking. It's almost like this automatic process that sets off. I think I'm a piece of shit. I've always been that way. I'm always going to make bad decisions. I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to work things out. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. And those thoughts, they just happen for me. And if I fall victim to that, and I think that's me talking, right? Then I become to feel that way. Then I become to behave that way. And now I've manifested the reality that I ain't nothing, that I'm not going to be nothing, and that it ain't going to work out. So this teaching of you are not your thoughts. You are not your feelings. You are the you that has thoughts. You are the you that has feelings. Disconnecting the thought, the feeling from the you. Who are you talking to? So let's talk a little bit about this you. The you that has the thoughts. The you that has the feelings. Before I do, I just want to say, like, for me, it can be very dysfunctional. And for people who are earthers, non-addicts, non-extremists like myself, then it's even more devious. Because the thoughts are gentle. They're subtle. There's not this extreme amount of pain that forces them to interrupt the pattern, which we'll get to. So if you think this is just an addict thing, this is living like you're asleep, not knowing the difference between you and your thoughts. So if you wonder why you're not leveling up in your life, or you wonder why you found yourself in a place that you don't really want to be in, it's probably because you believed that you were your thoughts, and you believed them and you manifested them. So in Christianity, the Apostle Paul writes in a couple letters, and he uses the term the flesh. And he creates this dualism between the flesh and the spirit. And he's illustrating something to the people in the early Christ followers. He's saying that there's this thing, this flesh, and then there's the spirit. And the spirit is really you. You're one grafted in to the spirit. Some other spiritual disciplines might use words like higher self or false self. But they're all getting to the point of you are the you, not that you. So who are you talking to? This concept is helpful because it's creating a separation between this thinking mind, and the mind is important. These kind of thoughts are important. They're check engine lights telling me, am I on point? Am I really doing what I can do? But I get to decide what I want to do with that thought. I get to decide what I want to do with my feeling of anger. Do I want to let it explode all over everybody? And sometimes I do. Sometimes I do just let it go. I'm not conscious. I'm unaware that it's happening. And then when I become aware, I got to clean up the mess and I got to backtrack. So I don't like getting to that place. I don't like getting to that place where I have to apologize or where I've caused harm to the people I love and respect the most. So becoming aware that I am the one having the thought. I am the one having the emotion. You are the one that's having these thoughts. You are the you. So who are you talking to? It's about interrupting the pattern. And the first step to interrupting a pattern of this thought, feeling, behavior, of this automatic sleepwalking life. The first step, and it's probably the largest, is awareness. Becoming aware that you are not your thoughts. And once you become aware of that, hopefully this communication right now has made you aware. Oh, wait a minute. I am not my thoughts. That's a huge step. That begins the ability to begin to break the pattern of following the thoughts automatically, which lead to feelings, which lead to behavior. So when we begin to see this at first, it's a little overwhelming. And breaking patterns, you know, I think this is a really simple, practical method to breaking patterns. And that is, look, there's something you do every day the same way, right? Switch that up. So you wake up, you drink a cup of coffee, or you wake up, you go downstairs, make the pot, maybe switch it up a little bit. Start recognizing what are the patterns that are happening in your life. Small changes, inch by inch, anything's a cinch. So a physical manifestation of breaking a pattern can help in this internal dialogue that you're having with yourself. That you are not your thoughts. Becoming aware of this and then interrupting the pattern. So when the thought comes in, right? I have a gift. And the gift I have is when I wake up, my mind is on 10, and it ain't on 10 in the good way. It's on 10 in the negative. It's hyper vigilant. It's hyper aware. It's hyper judgmental. This is a gift, because every morning when I wake up and I hear that buzzing bee of all those thoughts, it reminds me, oh, I got to break this pattern. I got to shut this down. So for me to shut it down, it's a daily process. This ain't just like a believe and it'll be. We want it that way. In this drive-through spirituality, American lifestyle, we want to just believe it into existence. And that it don't work that way. In my experience, it has in some people, but in most cases, more often than not, you gotta work it. And that's what I gotta do every day. I gotta treat this disease of sleepwalking. I gotta treat it. And so I do some things. I pray on my knees. I meditate. Sometimes for a minute, sometimes for 15. I read. I read recovery literature, spiritual literature early in the morning, first thing. Because I have to arrest this thinking mind. I have to arrest these thoughts or I will fall victim to them. I will fall prey to them. And when I do, the thoughts create feelings and the feelings create behaviors. Yeah, I'll just be real with you. Like, these last few weeks, it's been doubt on doubt on doubt. I think I mentioned that last time. Doubt on doubt on doubt. A day, all day. Do the spiritual practice, the doubt don't go away. Do the next right thing, the doubt don't go away. So I'm constantly having to remind myself, I am not these thoughts. I am not these feelings. I am the one that's having the thoughts. I am the one that's having the feelings. I'm separating myself from them so that I can continue to take right action. And you can too. Who are you talking to? Now the same thing goes for, I'm a part of this thing with this local church that does this one-on-one kind of mentoring. And they have this term in the mentoring process. They call it positive flesh. So what I've talked about so far would be what they say negative flesh, right? Negative self-talk, right? Lower self, right? False self, negative. So it's all about I ain't, I can't, I'm not. But this thing of positive, this is what's really tricky. This is what people won't get, and the people who probably had this won't even be listening to this, but let me just say it anyway in case somebody is. Let's see, the positive flesh is you can, you got this. Now it sounds good, it sounds good, but what it creates is a dependence on these, on self, on flesh, on self will run riot. And that's what we have. We have a lot of individuals who exist in our culture and in our communities today who are controlled by this positive flesh. And the trick is that the system, right, the societal system at play rewards that type of thing. So the successful person, the successful individual who is able to achieve and move and make moves and accumulate wealth and do things, it looks from the outside, this person got it going on. But it's the same process. They're still asleep. They're not aware. This is where recovery and the principles of the 12 steps really come into play. For checking ego. Because all these things look good and they seem good. But if you asleep, you asleep, bro. So becoming aware that you are not your thoughts. And getting, if you have that positive flesh, right? Is surrendering that positive flesh and saying, all right, all this stuff looks real good. And I think I really want to hold it on. And everybody else is confirming that it looks really good. And what happens is we become self-reliant. And if you want to become reliant on something higher than yourself, I cover this in the first thing, right? Keep digging or face plant the dirt. Eventually, at some point, they will go, didn't surrender. And surrendering to God takes commitment, it takes courage, it takes faith, it takes awareness. And for most people with a positive flesh, they're not willing to do it because they got no reason to. A thing. It's all good. Why am I got to change this up? And I think we deal with that a lot in our culture. So this gift that we have, or I have, of this negative self-talk, man, that's good, because that forces me to get in tune with the divine. It's a check engine light that's saying, boy, you need to check on that. You are not your thoughts and you are not your feelings. Who are you talking to? This message has been brought to you by the letter B and the makers of the Do What You Like Posse. That's a shout out to Digital Underground. If you know, you know. This is the Mystic Journey. On behalf of Most High Ministries. Hopefully we got a 12 and 2 coming up. 12 steps in 2 days. Holla if you want to get involved. You ain't got to be in recovery. Maybe you just want to get exposed to these steps. Maybe you just want to transform your life. Maybe you want to change. Holla if you need some help. You need some treatment. You need some help getting some help. We might be able to help. If you're in recovery and your life is kind of aight, but you want more, reach out. I'd love to help you. We can help. How can we help? So that's it. That's what I got. It don't take long to tell the truth. So if you like what you heard, share it to somebody. Who are you talking to? You are not your thoughts. You are not your feelings. You are the you that has thoughts. You are the you that has feelings. Your thoughts and your feelings are important. They're valid. But you are the you that gets to decide whether or not you're going to run them out. Whether or not you're going to ride them out. Whether or not you're going to follow them. You have that power in you. Right now. Today. And maybe it's got to get cultivated. Maybe it's got to get worked out. But you have the ability. And everything you need is within you. Close with this. There's a thing called Positive Intelligence. Positiveintelligence.com, I think. And he has this concept called the saboteurs. And it's a good method for identifying and dealing with these negative thoughts. And the positive intelligence. And so you get these. You take a test online. It's free. And you identify these with what the guy says is saboteurs. And these are the voices in your head. So for me, it's the judge. It's the hyperachiever. It's the hypervigilant. And then you identify these voices. And then you create sage voices to combat those voices. Some might say that's spiritual warfare. So check that out. Reach out if you need help. We're here for you. Peace and blessings.